All right, so today, I wonder what series we're in.
Why Plant a Church?
Ah, you're listening. Why Plant a Church, Part 5 today. So today we're going to talk about why planting a church, and the answer for today is going to be planted in the house of the Lord. And this is our fifth week in this, and I hope you've enjoyed the series so far. It's kind of a unique series, interesting for most of us. I guarantee most of us haven't heard any series on planting a church. Frankly, probably haven't heard much about planting church at all. Most churches don't really teach much about what church planting is. They're not really involved in planting churches, starting new churches. However, we're blessed to be sent by Good Shepherd, a very mission-minded church, a very kingdom-minded church. And so I want us to be the same as we kind of start off our journey here, to be able to have a high view of ecclesiology. What is ecclesiology? It's the study of the church or the view of the church. We want to be faithful ministers to the gospel and the community in which God plants us. As we continue through this series, we're going to talk about a few beautiful verses in Psalm 92. I'm going to read them in just a second. These talk about being in the house of the Lord, and we see the comparison to planting or church planting or starting a new church. It really fleshes out very nice. So let's go ahead and read these scriptures together. Psalm 92, 12 through 14. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Wow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we start to focus on your word here, God, as we look at this psalm, we look at some other scriptures that go along with it, Lord, God, I pray that we bring you glory, that we focus on you, we focus on the beauty of your word, the beauty of what you've created and who you are, God, and you've chosen to use the church to reach the world, and God, help us to thrive as a church, to thrive as individual persons in your presence, God. We love you. Amen. All right, so today's message, we're going to discuss how we can thrive as righteous persons who have been made that way through the blood of Christ, right? We're not righteous on our, in our own. We're righteous through Christ's righteousness. I would argue there are a lot of Christians today that are not necessarily what we call thriving. They're surviving, but they're not necessarily thriving. And the question is, why is that? God hasn't made us to be nominal Christians. It's not like we have, okay, these Christians, you know, they do these great things, and the rest of us, well, we're just going to try to just make it through. You know, that's not how God has designed us. That's a lie from Satan, to be honest. So we need to be thriving. And that doesn't always mean like things are really easy, things are going great. We may be struggling a lot. I mean, people would look at Christ's life and say he struggled a lot, but he thrived, right? Because he is God, but he's also in the presence of God all the time with his Father. So we need to live our lives in the model of Christ where we thrive in the presence of God. The world may be heavy on us. We may be worried, anxious, you know, scared even sometimes. But we know that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells us and helps us along. So that brings us to our main point of our message, and we're going to have some sub-points under this, but if we look at the main point here, when we are planted in the house of the Lord, we are, and the first thing we're going to talk about, we are like a palm tree. So verse 12, let's go ahead and hit it. There's some handouts, I think, out there, and it was like a palm tree, if you're wondering what that was. The righteous flourish like the palm tree, and we'll get to the next part here in a second, but the righteous flourish like a palm tree. What exactly does that mean, and how do palm trees actually flourish? We're going to do a little lesson on palm trees here for a second. So most species of palm trees grow in tropical or subtropical climates where the sun shines often. You think of palm trees, think of the beach, think of this really nice area, you know, just vacations. Well, we see Psalm 119, 105 is probably a very familiar verse that says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We can thrive in light of God's word. So many times we try to thrive through worldly wisdom, worldly knowledge, things like that, but we can thrive through the word of God, right? So it provides the energy and wisdom to do the will of God. We can find our strength. We can find our way through difficult situations. We try to navigate difficult conversations, difficult situations, difficult jobs. It helps to navigate our way along, right? So another thing about palm trees that's interesting is that most palm trees are useful and fruit producing. They produce coconuts, dates, bananas, and many of you all can probably pronounce this word better than I can, but I think it's acacia, maybe. I don't probably eat the super health food of this berry, but I guess it's supposed to be very, very healthy in case you're wondering. But we see this in Colossians 1:10. It says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So like the palm tree, we are to grow in the light of God's word. And when that light hits the palm tree, it helps it to produce what? Fruit. And so the righteous are fruit producing. If we're thriving in the presence of God, we're thriving in the presence of God, we're planted in the right place, we produce fruit. No one would look at a palm tree that has very little fruit or none and leaves that are withering and say, man, that plant is really thriving. It probably has a great root system. It's a great plant. They wouldn't, right? Just same with us. If people look at us and we're really not in the Word, we're not walking with the Lord, we obviously aren't going to be thriving. And the question is, where is our root system? Are we planted in the house of the Lord? And we'll talk about what that means here in just a little while. So, finally, palm trees can withstand great wind speeds. You think you would go to the beach after a hurricane hits and everything would be wiped out. Most of the houses end up being wiped out, but it's amazing how so many palm trees seem to withstand these crazy hurricane force winds. We see this in John 16:33. Jesus says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation," or great wind speeds, hurricanes. "But in me," right, "you have peace." But it says to take heart, "I have overcome the world." One of my favorite verses in Scripture. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So palm trees are unique in that they don't have typical bark like a tree. They're actually not considered trees. They're actually in the grass family. And they have these intertwined fibers that kind of make the quote-unquote bark of the palm tree. And that's why it's strong, but yet it's pliable. It bends. So if you watch winds, I mean, some of these things will go almost all the way over and they still won't snap. It's amazing how they can do that. So Jesus let us know in John 16:33 here that we are going to have some great wind speeds of persecution. You know, life's going to be tough. Trials and tribulations are going to come our way. Yet He let us know here that He already has victory. He says, "I have overcome the world." Now notice He makes this statement before the resurrection, before His death on the cross. And He already said, "I've overcome the world." And how come He says that? Because He's that powerful. He's transcendent. He's not limited by time. So why, even while He's on earth, He in His Alpha and Omega state, His beginning and end, that He is transcendent, He already has victory. And so we, like palm trees, when we're rooted in Christ, when we're walking by His Word, by the light of His Word, when the hurricane force winds, tribulation, stresses, all the things of this life, whether it's financial, whether it's, relational, all of those tribulations we have in our life, we can keep from snapping and breaking when we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're able to withstand the storms of this life. Next, again, our point here is when we are planted in the house of the Lord, kind of going back to that. Now, we are like, what was next? The cedar tree. So we see that in verse 12. So the righteous flourish, we said, like the palm tree, and grow like the cedar in Lebanon. The cedar in Lebanon. So we just saw the righteous compared to a palm tree, and now we're seeing the righteous compared to a cedar tree. If any of you know much about trees, or obviously grasses, as we just talked about the palm tree, you know that these are very, very different species here. We got one that's pliable, and we got one that is firm and strong, a cedar tree, just incredibly, incredibly strong. So why does the psalmist mention the cedars of Lebanon here? Well, these massive trees can get up over 130 feet with an 8-foot bark, and they are extremely sturdy and strong and massive trees. They also have a very nice fragrance, and they were used in both structural as well as aesthetic purposes for building projects. We sell cedars used a lot. We see Solomon get a lot of cedars from the king of Tyre, actually, when we look back in the Old Testament. So where the palm tree, we talked about how it flourished with fruit producing and pliability, its ability to be able to withstand the trials of this life, the hurricane force winds. But when we see the cedar, it is strong in the presence. It has a firm foundation. It's got a great root system. It withstands a lot of things as well. But just like the cedar tree, we have to grow intentionally. So we can't just kind of grow this way and that way. You know, sometimes we see like vines. Vines will kind of go here and there and everywhere. You know, the cedar has a firm foundation and grows from the bottom up. So we really need to make sure we are like that. So we start with the elementary principles of the faith when we first get saved. When you grow like a cedar, they put these roots in. So that's the gospel, you know, baptism, some of those kind of things. And then we kind of get into the deeper doctrines once we have grown. And we grow in a straight fashion, organized fashion, not just shooting off here, shooting off here, shooting off here. We want to make sure our root system is really good. And that root system really takes us to the next point really, really well. And when we are planted in the house of the Lord, we are also planted well. We are planted well. So it says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of God. So this verse can kind of be confusing at first. They are planted in the house of the Lord. Well, the house of the Lord can mean a couple of different things. And first, you know, a lot of times we hear the house of the Lord, we think of the temple of the Lord, if we're looking at the Old Testament. And it very well can mean that. But most often when we actually look at the Psalms, that's not exactly what the author is saying, what God is saying through this. Most often it's actually referred to being in the presence of God, the very presence of God in heaven. So this is being planted in the house of the Lord, his throne room, where he's at. And if we kind of look at this, if we look in the context, in the verse right before it, it said that we're to be like the palm tree, like the cedar tree. And this would be like being planted in the house of the Lord. So we can kind of go with that same simile, you know, with like or as, that same type of context there. So when it says like planted in the house of the Lord, our lives should be lived as if we are in the very presence of God. Get that? Our lives should be lived like we're in the very presence of God. And why? Because his very presence lives within us as believers, right? The Holy Spirit indwells us, indwells our hearts. And so we truly are in his presence at all times. And that's how we have to live our lives, especially as New Testament believers. We can take this even to the next level because we have the Holy Spirit. So if we are planted well, we can thrive, right? We can really thrive. If we find ourselves planted in Christ, by Christ, right? And so we see this in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. And I want us to kind of flesh this out a little bit in New Testament terms. It says, but God, this is one of my favorite words here, but God, right? Our favorite phrases. It says, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. It says, and raised us up with him, or raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are we sitting in the heavenly places right now? No, we're on earth, right? But just like Christ when he was on earth and he said, take heart, I've overcome the world. He spoke it as if it already existed. It was spoken that we see it here as well. We who are saved are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We are already in his presence in heaven. If we look at Christ, how he is the beginning and the end, he has spoken it already. So Christ has already been exalted by God the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father, right? And we have a promise here that we will be seated with him in the heavenly places. Now, don't get confused. We're not going to be God. You know, some false religions will preach that when they talk about being co-heirs. No. Christ is God. He is God. We are not. We are far from that. But he says that we are going to be, he prepared a place for us in heaven. We talked about that this morning. Pastor Kenny really beautifully expounded upon that. So God is a God that always keeps his promises. When he says something, it's going to happen. And if you are a believer, this is going to happen. And so we're called to live that way. We're called to live planted in the house of the Lord, planted in his very presence. Everything we do comes out of that, and we should flourish through that promise. In the house of the Lord, there's other believers as well, right? In heaven, if you look at Revelation, there's a ton of people worshiping God. You know, it's not just one person. There's a ton, a whole host, heavenly host, that is worshiping God. And so God has developed us and designed us to be in life and community. And that's why the church is so important. So we're planted in the house of the Lord, planted in His presence, but not only planted, we're not planted solo. We're planted in community. He has us work together. We need to be constantly reminded of His promises, His mercy, His grace. We have to be reminded, because we're very simple. We forget things. And when we get all by ourselves and we're not plugged into the body of Christ, it's so easy to just get lost, to get depressed, to get worried, to lose our way, to not necessarily know which way's up, to let the cares of this world really weigh us down. But when we're in community, we have somebody to pick us back up. We have somebody to remind us of the promises of God and how great that He is. So some may say, I could be a Christian and not go to church, right? I mean, you hear people say that all the time. I think that's such a sad thing to say. It's a selfish thing to say, and it's a prideful thing to say. Well, first off, we need to out of obedience, right? So Hebrews 10:25 commands us to be a church. Jesus expounded it on John 14:15 and said that if we love Him, we'll obey His commands. So if He commands us to be a part of the body of believers, then we obey Him if we love Him. Second, the church is one body in many parts, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12. So if you aren't in church, then the church is missing out on your spiritual gifts and talents that God has given you to serve. We all have unique ways, unique things that we bring to the body of Christ. And finally, the reason it's so prideful to say I don't need the church is that God Himself lives in community all the time and has always existed in community. The Trinity is community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is community. So if God exists in community and kind of needs community within Himself, then how much, and has been designed that way, or has designed us in His image, well, He's designed us to need community as well. So, God has decided to create us as social beings in need of community together. He could have made us solo, but He didn't. He made us to need community. And He's also determined that the church is how He's going to reach the world. You know, we are very imperfect. We have a lot of struggles. We have a lot of things that we don't do well. A lot of churches are struggling out there. But He still has chosen to use the church to reach the world. So I pray that we create an environment in this church, that we create an environment here to reach the world, that we are a great example, we don't have to be fearful, because God is with us and He's for us. We can stand firm on the solid rock of Jesus Christ as we move forward. Lastly, when we are planted in the house of the Lord, we are being fruitful. So verse 14, finally in the last verse here, says, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. So by being in community with other believers, through the power of the Holy Spirit, being in the presence of God in our lives, and sanctifying us through the Word of God, we can continue bearing fruit throughout our life. We don't have to burn out. You know, so many people burn out. So many wither and spiritually decay. And a lot of times it's because they're not really plugged into the body of believers. So if we look at what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our outer self, these bodies are going to wear out. They get tired. They struggle, right? As we get older, things start to go wrong. You know, our health starts to decay. But yet our inner self is being renewed day by day, because we can thrive in the presence of God with the Holy Spirit working through us. Our flesh may fail, right? It says Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I love that. So we can persist when we live our lives by the truth of Scripture, acknowledging the power of God within us. We don't have to do this life alone. We have the Holy Spirit empowering us. We're living in the presence of God, and He directs us, His Word. We can be in it. We can be reading it daily. It directs us as well. And we have other believers that can encourage us and pick us up along the way and help us as we walk through this. We don't want to become old trees that quit bearing fruit. And you see, some trees, if they're taken really good care of, they can bear fruit until their dying days. But some trees, when they're not taken care of, they're not in community with somebody taking care of it, they can quit bearing that fruit. And we don't want to do that. We want to persevere to the end. We want to go into eternity still producing fruit. Our bodies may be failing, our flesh may be failing, but our inner self should still be continuing to be sanctified through the Holy Spirit. And God can carry us all along the way. We just have to be willing for Him to do it. He is faithful, and He will continue to bring fruit. His streams of grace and mercy, they never end. He never runs out of energy or power to give to us. He never runs out of energy or power to change us and to bring fruit to us. So there's three things I really want us to kind of finish summarizing here. Number one, these trees that we discussed, the palm and the cedar, they take a while to mature and produce fruit and grow, right? So as believers, sometimes new believers especially, you kind of want to go and you're like, why am I not producing the fruit that he is or she is? Why am I not there yet? We got to stay the course. You know, the fruit we produce early on, we may compare it to this other tree that's been planted longer. This other tree that's been planted. And we may say, well, you know, the fruit, you know, my fruit just doesn't look as nice as their fruit does. I don't know what's going on. You know what? And we may get discouraged and we may start to compare ourselves. But the Holy Spirit will gradually continue to grow us and to help us grow through that. So don't get discouraged when you may see somebody else that's bearing more fruit. Be encouraged. Say, that same Holy Spirit that lives in that guy or that gal lives in me. And so God can do things like that in me as well. And we need to be encouraged by it when we see a fruit in somebody else and not discouraged by that and comparing ourselves. We're on the same team. We're all about God's glory, not about our own glory. So let's be encouraged by that. Number two, these trees need planted in a good space in order to grow well, in a good space to be able to grow well. So don't forget that believers are like trees planted in the very house of God, right? We need to live our lives as if we are in the very presence, as the very presence of God lives in us, right? So we must rest in this promise that we have a place with Christ in heaven for all eternity and hold firm to that promise. And number three, lastly, in order for us to fulfill what God has called us to do, we must design this church plant, this church here, to help our members grow and be fruitful. We need to point one another to Christ and His Word. When somebody asks a question, we don't need to be giving worldly advice or giving a secular advice, a worldly wisdom. We need to be given wisdom out of the Word of God. And we got to make sure that the cares of this world aren't our main focus. We must be focused on the long term and be kingdom-minded. And we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do His work through us and not in our own strength. Only then can we persevere and be able to, years and years and years later, look back and say, you know what? We may be tired. Our flesh may be failing. This may be 40 years down the road and we may be not moving quite as quick as we are today. But we can still be bearing fruit. We can still be bearing fruit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, you are good and holy and wonderful. God, I pray that the words that you've given us today through Psalm 92 here, that they help us to fully rely on you, to realize your very presence that lives within us as the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in that, to glorify you, and to make much of you, God. You are good, holy, and wonderful. Help us to go out this evening and to live lives that are thriving, not just surviving, by your power and your Spirit. Help us to be firmly rooted in you and your Word, God. We love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise. Amen.